second scripture reading comes from Luke's Gospel, chapter 20, verses 20 through 26. I invite you again to hear the word of the Lord. So they watched him being Jesus, and sent spies who pretended to be honest in order to trap him by what he said, so as to hand him over to the jurisdiction and authority of the governor. So they asked him, "Teacher, we know that you are right in what you say and teach, and you show deference to no one, but teach the way of God in accordance with truth. Is it lawful for us to pay taxes to the emperor or not?" But he perceived their craftiness and said to them, "Show me a denarius. Whose head and whose title does it bear?" They said, "The emperor's." He said to them, "Then give to the emperor the things that are the emperor's, and to God the things that are God's." And they were not able in the presence of the people to trap him by what he said, and being amazed by his answer, they became silent. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So, very simple sermon today. I'm going to tell you who to vote for. As we go to the polls on Tuesday, our faith in Jesus Christ guides us in that decision, doesn't it? It informs our priorities and thus our vote. So I think it's helpful for us to talk about that today, about how our faith guides our participation in this process and how or what we are called to be mindful of when we go to cast our vote. So before I tell you who to vote for, I'm going to start with this. As Christians, our hope does not lie in any candidate or political party or platform, but in Jesus Christ. And that sounds obvious, like it should go without saying for us, but it is so easy to fall into the mindset that real transformation only comes through the people and the institutions of this world. That's part of it. God definitely uses the people and the institutions of this world to do the work of God's kingdom. We bear a responsibility to partner with God in working for justice and peace and healing in the world, making the kingdoms of this world more like the kingdom of God. But ultimately, we cannot pin our hope on any one person or institution. We cannot follow anyone ahead of Jesus Christ. In this reading from Luke, some religious leaders come to Jesus and ask him if it's lawful to pay taxes to the Roman Emperor Caesar. If he says yes, then he is endorsing this oppressive system that exploits his own people. They'll use it to turn the people against him. If he says no, then he is undermining the authority of Caesar and the legitimacy of the Roman government, and he can be arrested and killed for that. So Jesus says, "Show me a coin. Whose image and name does it bear?" And they say, "Well, it bears the image and the name of Caesar." He says, "Then give to Caesar the things that belong to Caesar, and give to God the things that belong to God." When you go to the polls on Tuesday, your ballot will bear the image and the name of candidates. But you bear the image and the name of God. So give your vote to the candidates. But give yourself, your heart, your mind, your devotion, your hope, give yourself to God. And be careful not to confuse the two. Shane Claiborne wrote a book a few years ago called Jesus for President. And in talking about how he came up with the idea for that book, he said, "When people ask me who I was voting for in this election that had taken place, he says, I would say, my president has already ascended the throne and has already delivered his State of the Union address, and I have little faith that either of the likely options will incarnate the Beatitudes, the Sermon on the Mount, or the fruit of the Spirit." I will declare my allegiance from the mountaintops, he says, joining the chorus of saints and martyrs, and I will raise the banner of love above all flags. No matter... Yeah. No matter who you vote for on Tuesday, no matter who wins, that person will not bring about the kingdom of God. At the same time, this other candidate, the one you will never vote for, and you cannot possibly understand how anyone in their right mind ever could, that person is not Satan. They are not the Antichrist. They are not Hitler. We have been throwing those terms around way too much. They are imperfect, sinful human beings just like the rest of us. But they are also children of God, created in the very image of God. And they are loved and forgiven by Jesus Christ. Let that soak in for a minute, because I think that we need to hear that. Hillary Clinton, whatever you think of her, is a child of God, created in the image of God, loved and forgiven by Jesus Christ. Donald Trump, whatever you think of him, is a child of God, created in the image of God, loved and forgiven by Jesus Christ. Jill Stein, Gary Johnson, Evan McMullen, Rocky De La Roca, they are all children of God, created in the image of God, loved and forgiven by Jesus Christ. Christ lived, died, and rose again for them, just as much as Christ did for you. We may have significant disagreements with them, serious differences, but we cannot demonize and vilify them in a way that robs them of their identity as children of God. That is not loving, it is not Christ-like, it is not what we are called to as followers of Jesus Christ. We can't control what they do and say. We can't control what other people do and say, but we can control what we do and say, how we respond to them. And will we respond in a way that is loving and Christ-like? Jesus said, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So if you really believe that this other candidate is your enemy, that they will persecute you, then your calling, your obligation in Christ is to pray for them. And not one of these prayers where we ask God to change them and make them the way that we think they should be, but a prayer that humbly, genuinely, and lovingly asks God to bless them, to use them, and to give them everything they need to lead the people well. Because whoever wins, we have to live with them for the next 4 years. We have to live with each other for the next 4 years. Now, we get to the part where I tell you who to vote for. As Presbyterians, one of the things that we affirm is freedom of conscience. That God alone is the Lord of the conscience, and that no human being or institution can tell us how we should think or what we should do. We follow Christ alone. So of course I'm not going to tell you which candidate to vote for. That is between you and God, as you have been guided by the Holy Spirit and Scripture to do so. But so often, we choose a candidate based on whether they share our values. Does this candidate believe the same things I do? Where do they stand on these issues and positions that are important to me? We vote for the candidate who most closely reflects our principles and preferences. We vote for the candidates who will help us out. The candidate who will be the most financially beneficial to us. Will this person raise my taxes or lower my taxes? When we vote, we essentially vote for ourselves. The candidate who is most like me, who shares my worldview, and with whom I most closely identify. But the life and ministry of Jesus Christ was never about self-interest. I mean, this is the Savior who said, I came not to be served, but to serve, and give my life as a ransom for many. He said, if you want to become great, you must be servant of all. He said, those who are last shall be first, and those who are first shall be last. So we could change that slightly to understand it as those who place themselves first will be last, and those who place themselves last will be first in the kingdom of God. It is not the way of Jesus Christ to place ourselves, our needs, our preferences above others. Paul said, look not to your own interest, but to the interest of others. So when you go to the polls on Tuesday, do not vote for yourself. Instead, ask this question. Jesus calls us to love God and love our neighbor, and we show our love for God by loving our neighbor. So ask yourself, what would it look like for me to use my vote as a way of loving my neighbor? Jesus says in the Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are the mourning and the meek and the merciful. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are the peacemakers and the persecuted. Blessed by whom? It's easy for us to say they're blessed by God. That kind of relieves us of any responsibility toward them. God will take care of them. God will bless them. Are they blessed by you? What would it look like for you to use your vote as a way to bless the poor in spirit and the poor, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness and for food? Do you use your vote to persecute or to bless the persecuted? To make life easier or harder for those who are struggling and suffering? These are not liberal and conservative questions. These are Christian questions. They are questions of compassion and love. I was down at Broad Street Ministry in the city this past week, and I saw people there who are homeless, addicted, mentally ill, people who are on the margins of society, some of whom do not have an address or an ID, so they cannot vote. But they are children of God, created in the image of God, loved and forgiven by Jesus Christ just as much as us. Who will represent them? Who will bless them and help their voices to be heard? Don't vote for yourself. Vote for them. I look at the news and see what's happening at Standing Rock, where Native Americans are being beaten, arrested, and shot, having their land taken from them again, so that we can have easier access to oil at the expense of their sacred grounds and their water supply. Who will represent them? Who will bless them and help their cries to be heard? Don't vote for yourself, vote for them. I look at my three children, who will be going with me and Jen to the polls on Tuesday. I look at the youth of this church, high schoolers who will be going off to college and out into the world during this next president's administration. They cannot vote, and yet their lives stand to be impacted tremendously by the votes that we cast. Don't vote for yourself. Vote for them. Vote for the marginalized, the oppressed, those who have no voice, be their voice. That is what the life and ministry of Jesus was about. That is what we are called to be about as his followers. Jesus says that we show our love for him by loving the least of these, those who are hungry and thirsty, those who are sick or strangers or imprisoned, those who are struggling and suffering. I can't tell you what that will look like for you to vote for them. That's a matter of your conscience between you and God. All I ask, my hope for you, is that you will at least pray about it over these next few days. Seek God's wisdom and guidance. use your vote as an extension of your faith by extending it to the least of these.